This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geeks, show number 267, recorded on June 30th. By the way, smack dab in the middle of the year, 2016. Here at Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find news, reviews, product updates, and conversation, and sometimes conversation around beer. Ryan and I were talking pre-show. I'm drinking a strawberry Fruity. What do you got there, Ryan?
And I have a beer from Shorts Brewery in Traverse City, Michigan. It is known as a strawberry shorts cake, and it's a very light strawberry and vanilla-y milky beer.
We didn't plan it that way.
I know, that's the odd thing. And the interesting thing about that is Mikey actually just brought that home tonight. She brought home two bottles and said, "Well, I thought we'd try this. I didn't get a whole six pack, so I just brought two of them home." So what a coincidence!
And I've had two sitting in the fridge since my birthday. I got these. My son likes to purchase these for me for my birthday, and he knows they're my favorite strawberry beer. And so they were sitting there, and I said, "Tonight I'll just grab a strawberry beer." So anyway, so Ryan. Welcome, but I remind everyone.
Thanks, Jim, for having me. I appreciate it. Back again. It's been a while.
Good to have you. I cut right into the show stuff, so we'll just bypass. Everybody knows this stuff about we're a part of the Geeks Network. You can find this podcast and many other great podcasts out at thegeeksnetwork.com, and don't forget to listen to us on the mobile app. Go to homegadgetgeeks.com. Ryan, I tried to get you on the show, I don't know, maybe a year ago.
Six months ago, probably.
Was it 6 months? And you were kind of like, oh, man, I don't know.
I have nothing to give.
I got nothing. How you been, man? What you been up to?
It's been a year since I have been on the show, and you wanted to have me on 6 months ago. In between all of that, we moved from California to
Michigan.
Because
you were doing some Uber. You had done some Uber driving out there. Ooh. You were doing some other stuff.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, that's a real joy. Not at all. I was doing that while I was working for a very large retail grocery chain, doing some culinary work for them as well. But we moved to Michigan to be closer to family, and Mikey's job opportunities here came available. So we moved to the eastern side of the state. At that point in time, it was Rochester Hills, which is a beautiful high-end little city here in Michigan. But since, we lived there for about 10 months, and then we said, we should probably buy a house. So we got our house in November, and ever since then, I've been doing homeowner things, which this is the first time I've owned a home. So, and it's kind of a nice big fixer-upper. It was ready to move in, but it wasn't our style. So when I say fixer-upper, it means we just changed it over to the things that we like, which included a whole new bathroom, a brand new kitchen, which is absolutely gorgeous, which I love because we got all new appliances. We had a gas line installed so I could have a gas stove. We could have a gas stove. But, all of the things. And then as soon as spring came around here in Michigan, which at one point was January, and then it was winter all the way up through March, we got outside and we've been fixing up the garage and doing all of our gardening. And so tonight we just pulled in from, we literally harvested things for dinner tonight, which was really nice. So we had a beautiful mixed green salad to go along with our beautiful pork chop that we did in the immersion circulator.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that on a couple shows back. So
right. And you know what? We're going to talk about it again tonight because I've got two new ones that we can actually talk about as we go on here.
Awesome. Well, so for folks who haven't heard you before, Food Craftsman, you're at Food Craftsman. Is that right? At Food Craftsman. Yeah.
Which is foodcraftsman.com is the website. You can find me at Food Craftsman on Twitter. Foodcraftsman.com. You can find me there.
Yeah. So, no, yeah. Very cool. Good.
So, my whole goal is to get you to cook like a chef and master the kitchen. So, nice. Part of it is, tools that you should have, but a lot of it is really just it's the technique behind recipes. I don't give out a lot of recipes. I tell you and try and share with you so you can discover how to actually learn how to cook and get yourself away from having to search for recipes online. And then you don't always know where they come from, or if they've been tested. So sometimes they just don't work for you. So if you understand, and this is what I try to teach my students at culinary school, if you understand the technique, you don't necessarily need the recipe. Okay? And I put that in a, with a big asterisk. That does not include baking. Baking is very formulaic, and you really should, you know, have a formula for your cakes and pie doughs.
Yeah. So those you want to follow the recipe on is what you're saying, but there are other
areas. Because the ratios, the timing, the temperatures in baked goods are just so crazy, you know, important that you really need, you know, you really need the to have those down. Then you can apply that to any tough cut of meat and make a beautiful tender cut of meat out of it. So any hardworking muscle in an animal needs to be braised, or long, slow cooking process like a great barbecue, for instance, which is not a braise, but you know, it's a long, slow cooking process as well. So
it can be.
It can be, yes. Ooh, I didn't know what I just did there.
Hey,
yes, it totally can be.
While you're while we're thinking about, before we move too far along from your construction, you're working on the upstairs. Any thought to home automation as far as while you've got things kind of torn apart? Are you thinking about any home automation up there within lights or speakers or that kind of stuff?
You know, the biggest thing that I was going to get into was the thermostat. Like, that, I thought that would be like a good starting point. But honestly, we didn't do any home automation. We didn't do any. The most exciting thing that I did was buy a Simply Safe alarm system. Like, that was the most that we did. I spent a lot of money down here in the basement because I thought I would be out podcasting and creating shows more than I have, which we're gonna get in there in a minute. We'll get back to that.
Yeah.
But you know, for the last 6 months we've been busy, so you know, I spent time, you know, down here, just I did some sound work on the walls that are facing me, and you know, hung up some sweet pictures in the back, and my $10,000 cookbook collection that I've had, you know, that I've been growing since a kid.
Yeah.
But you know, that's where I've been spending my time and money. Are you guys? You said you're doing some renovation upstairs too, or
no, we are not. Well, we have some basics. We're going to sell the house here in the next year or two, and
okay,
we've got some things to do. All the home automation I'm putting in is very, very temporary. So
right,
switches that I can take with me, bulbs that sure, I can take with me, those kinds of things is no thermostat. Sarah would have nothing to do with the thermostat.
Really? Why is that?
Yeah, she's like, nope. I like my programmable, you know, the programmable one. Programmable? Is that what it really said?
It's, you know, a new word.
Yes, programmable. And it's when you have spelling and the temperature at the same time. It's
programmable. Yeah. So not interested. Why not interested
just,
in the...
She likes one temperature, set it. That's just where she wants it. And if I did a Nest thermostat on her or whatever, Ecobee, she would absolutely revolt. So it's just we're not...
Okay.
Now, moving to a new house, I think maybe with different zones, and, you know, it's a smaller house we're in here. We may consider that on a move-out, but she's really encouraged me not to do much but repair what's here.
Sure.
For now. And then when we move into the next place, we'll do more.
Well, you know, when you look at it now and you're you guys have decided that over the next year or so that you're going to move, the biggest thing that you want to do is spend the money on the things that are going to get you a bigger return. So, you know, it's the curb appeal. It's the, you know, making sure that you've got the right paint color on the walls, that people aren't going to, you know, the odd things that really cost you $30 or $50 that'll bring in $300 or $500, you know. That's, you know, makes sense.
Yeah. Well, that's where we're at. You know, just get baseboards down, get floors looking good, you know, paint the rooms, change carpet. Yeah. That's kind of where we're at. But
yeah, we took out everything in the bathroom except for the tub and the toilet, and then we put down brand new floors in there, all white tile. Don't do all white tile. But then we did a beautiful tile arrangement in the actual shower. So really nice tile design, everything like that. But that was, you know, it was our first time doing all of this. So it took a little bit longer than we expected. And so, you know, that's where we are.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's whenever, anytime you're doing home improvement, anytime you're doing that stuff, it's always six times more expensive and takes six times longer, right, than initially. Something is wrong with me tonight.
Are you allergic to the strawberry beer? Is your tongue...
It only says 4.1%. This is not like...
How many of those have you had today?
This is the first one, and I'm only like a quarter of the way far into the first one. It's been a long day, I'll be honest. I was telling you in pre-show, we bought a new car. Speaking of technology, we bought this 2016 Outback.
Is it full of? Is it full of good loaded toys?
Yeah, it is. It is. Well, Sarah says it's not loaded, but it's got the assist up front. Like if somebody breaks in front of you, it's gonna start braking. What do they call it? Eyesight, I guess, is what they call it. Yeah. No, right on. It's pretty cool. So, anyways, you know the deal when you go to buy a new car. I mean, it is a emotional experience to get. First, negotiate the price. Then you got to bust through the finance guy. Then you got to turn down all the millions of options. So, I have been on since about 4 o'clock this afternoon, and maybe I'm just a little tired. So, let's talk about your kitchen stuff and not spend too much time. Where do you want to get started?
Well, okay. So last time we did talk about the immersion circulator, and for anybody that's not really familiar with the immersion circulator, a company called PolyScience several years ago, they were it's a very regulated, temperature control, precise hot coffee heater, basically. Have you ever seen those little desk, those little wires that you stick in your coffee mug and it heats your coffee up? Mm-hmm. Okay, it's a giant version of that, but it's very, very highly temperature controlled, regulated. So last time we talked about, the one that I own right now is called the Sansair, and it's beautiful and it works just fine. It's accurate between, I think, a half a degree. So I can set it to 140. Like, for instance, today, I'm not going to lie. I did pork chops last night because Mikey was out of town last night. And then when she came home tonight, she brought home more pork chops. So we had more pork chops. So last night, I actually did it at, I did the pork chops at 145 degrees point zero. So, and it's very, very accurate. So I can set, though, I can set a piece of meat or whatever I want in there to cook at a very specific temperature, and I can leave it in there for hours at a time, and it will never overcook because it never gets above a certain temperature. So we're going to talk about two more versions of that tonight, and I love that one. It heats about a total of 5 gallons of water. It can keep, you know, it can regulate the temperature up to about 5 gallons of water. The new ones that I want to talk about, one is from a website company, believe it or not, a huge YouTube channel called ChefSteps.com. They have a new one called Joule, and it is controlled with a beautiful interactive app on your phone. Most of the ones that are controlled by an app right now are just a simple, like, you temperature dial on your phone, and you set it for how long you want it to cook. This one, they actually have very beautiful photographs and video, so you can actually see what your food is supposed to look like when it comes out. But what is interesting about it is it starts at $229 for pre-order, and they're going to ship in September. This one is about a third, if not a quarter, of the size that I have. Mine is probably 2.5 to 3 pounds. And about 6 or 7 inches taller and 1.5 inches wider than this. But this one is accurate within plus or minus 0.2 degrees, and it's controlled by the app. It also has one of the things that I thought was absolutely brilliant was the circulating element at the very bottom has a neodyne? Is that the term I'm looking for? A neodyme magnet at the bottom.
So it sticks to the bottom.
So it can stick to the bottom of
a pan.
An induction pan.
Oh, gotcha. Right.
So you don't have to worry about it tipping over, et cetera. So this is absolutely just gorgeous, and I've been trying to get them to send one to me, to be honest. I've been trying to get one sent to me before they're released because I would like to do a comparison of the two, and then maybe do some review videos on it. But this one is, I'm looking forward for this to come out in September, and if I don't get one by then, maybe I'll have to order one on my own. But gorgeous app to go along with it, and they've got a lot of pre-programmed recipes in there. So you can literally just pick something and go for it. Okay? So that is one version of the immersion circulator. And if you see in this picture here, the immersion circulator is in a pot. And you can do it in a pot. You can do it. I have a Lexan container, which is like a 3.5-gallon plastic container that you can use. But they also work really great in a cooler, a regular, you know, Coleman cooler that you would, you know, put your beer in. It's actually really nice because that helps regulate the temperature as well.
Ryan, how is that getting power? I don't see a cord, but I assume
there is a cord that's actually in his left hand there.
Okay, yeah, I do see it there, but I don't see it coming out of the top. So it must. Yeah,
it just plugs right into the back, and it has a. I believe it's a detachable cord, but the thing that's really great about this is the size of it. This is truly a portable immersion circulator, where the one that I have, while it's only 2.5-3 pounds, it's actually pretty small. Or this one's half the size of it, so.
I get a good shot there. I've got it in the drawer.
Yeah.
And you get a pretty good, there's a view with somebody holding it in their hand.
Yeah, exactly. And just so you know, Jim, everything that we talk about today and some of the things if we don't get to talk about them, I'm actually going to put together just a resource guide for anybody listening. They can go to foodcraftsman.com/HGG, and I'll have that. I'll email it to them so they can have it.
Very cool.
You know.
Awesome. Yeah, so if I'm new to this, we've already talked about perfect temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're cooking meats this way, mm-hmm. you cook the meat first, and you first immerse it, and then cook it to the right temperature, right? Then sear it, right? Is that the way? That's the order, right, in this?
Yeah, that's perfect. So actually, Recluse in the chat room was asking, she wanted to know a little bit about the pre-circulator process.
I think it's a he.
But anyway, wanted to know about the pre-circulator process. What do I do beforehand? So I do use a brine, and I have a very simple brine. It is salt, it is sugar, a bay leaf, some peppercorn, and some hot sauce. That is my basic brine, and I'll use that from anything from any sort of white meat, you know, turkey, pork, anything that's not as heavy as beef, chicken, some fish sometimes, like a heavier fish. But you want to brine it. I put it in the brine for 24 hours, and then I take it out, and I dry it really, really well. So the idea is that once it has been, and then I season it then I put it in the immersion circulator and sous vide it for just in a regular Ziploc bag. And I leave the top of the Ziploc bag clipped to the top of the pot, and it works great. So once that comes out, I'll let it rest for a few minutes so that the internal temperature can drop just a little bit, and then just get a nice copper pan or cast iron pan, roaring hot. And you sear it off like you would a steak, but you only need it for like 30, 45 seconds on each side. So you're never overheating the center of the product. And then it's golden. Just make sure when you take it out of the sous vide that you dry it really well, and then you season it again.
Yeah. How long should it sit in there?
In the immersion circulator?
Mm-hmm.
You can put it in there. Now, it depends on the product. You know, if you're putting chicken in there and you're not cooking it above the recommended internal cooking temperature, which is 165 degrees for chicken, which means it's going to be shoe leather chicken. So you have to be careful. You want to do it for like an hour and call it good. But for something like the pork, where you're cooking it to the recommended internal cooking temperature, and it's above the temperature danger zone, which is 141 degrees, where it really slows down the bacterial growth process, you can put it in there for 3 or 4 hours. And that's part of the magic of it, because you can put that in and you can walk away, or you can start prepping the rest of your meal, and you can just, you don't have to worry about it. You're never, it's never going to overcook, yeah. You know? So that's the big thing. So
for folks who aren't good at cooking beef or meat or chicken or pork, it's a great way to do it and get it right.
Because for even people who are good at cooking beef, it's a great way to do it. Like I'm, you know, my big thing is, and I was laughed out of the kitchen when I brought it home. You know, she wanted to know why, you know, I can't believe you bought that. That is just ridiculous. 2 weeks later, you know, everything's going in there, you know. You can do corn in there. So we talked before the show started, we were talking about growing corn. Mm-hmm. Pop it in the immersion circulator for a half hour, 45 minutes with just a pat of butter, no water, and that butter just gets sucked in. Absolutely gorgeous. So that was the first immersion circulator that I want to talk about. There's actually another version that is out. And the reason that I like this one, this is the Oliso Pro, O-L-I-S-O Pro Smart Hub. It's two kitchen gadgets in one. It's the immersion circulator. It's the sous vide, but it is actually powered by a base that is an induction cooktop. So there we go. Perfect. So this actually, and it's all self-contained. The sous vide part is all self-contained, so you can actually cook in other liquids besides water. So you could do like, you could put a steak in there in some sort of like beef broth, et cetera, and allow that to circulate. Some of the advantages of this is you don't have to worry about anything getting inside and ruining the inside of your immersion circulator because the actual tub itself is contained. But then you can actually take the immersion circulator off, or the sous vide part off, and you can... you have an induction cooktop. So an induction cooktop is obviously a flameless cooking, but the idea behind it is that it's very much temperature controlled, just like the immersion circulator. So, for instance, if you wanted to poach fish in olive oil at 130 degrees, so it's just perfectly poached, you can put it in there and you could leave it in there for a half hour, 45 minutes, and then you could take the whole unit off, and then you could actually sear the skin of that fish in or on the induction cooktop. So it's really nice.
Yeah, you really see how practical that is, I think. And
it's a very small footprint.
Yeah.
For the kitchen.
No, right on. And in a nice way to retro, I mean, you can get induction stoves if you want, but if you need to retro for the kitchen, this would be a good way to get one and not have to necessarily put a stove in.
Yeah, and my biggest issue, I mean, I would love to have one of these or have an induction stovetop, but they're a real pain in the butt to clean. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to have special cleaners for the whole range top, and it's just not that great. But with this, it's small, it's compact, it's portable, so you can take it with you places. I have a couple of induction cooking burners, and what's great about them, even for some of the videos that I do for Food Craftsman, I was down here in the basement, poaching eggs, and I don't have to worry about it catching on fire or setting off the smoke alarm, you know, so it's really nice.
So $5.99, a little pricey. For that, don't you think, or is that a pretty good price?
$4.99. Yeah. I, you know, for the combination of the two, that is really not a bad price. If you're looking at the smart vacuum sealer to go along with it, that's a little pricey for what you're getting. But if you're looking at an immersion circulator, they're going to run $249 to $299 right now. And the induction, a really good induction burner is going to be $300 or $400 to begin with. So I'm assuming this is going to be like the higher middle end range for these guys. But I'm looking forward to getting my hands on one of these too. I had a friend who had one, uses it all the time. It's a really nice controlled, two in one. It's a twofer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, right on. And is the pan that you use that they're showing in the video, is that a special pan that you have to use?
So the only thing that is special about an induction capable pan is that a magnet will stick to it, because it's the magnetic resonance that actually vibrates the pan and produces heat. So if you have any pan that you can stick a magnet to the bottom, that's induction cooktop ready. Now, I say this with a little trepidation, because cast iron you can stick a magnet to. But if you have a lower end cast iron pan, emerald, I learned this the hard way. I was going on live TV in Cincinnati, and I was going to use the induction burner that they had there to pan roast these big, beautiful mushrooms. We were doing a whole dish there. So I was cooking some off, you know, before we went live, so I had some available. And the cast iron pan literally shattered and just split into, like, five pieces, like, 2 minutes before I'm supposed to go on TV. So just be careful. The only reason that happened is because it was a very porous cast iron pan. I've used some of the higher end, like Le Creuset. They work beautifully. They're a little more dense. They're not as porous, and a lot of them have an enamel coating on it, which is helpful as well.
So my mom's cast iron skillet from 1934, probably not a good idea to throw that on.
Actually, probably a great idea to throw it on there, because it's probably super heavy. It is made to last from 1934. It's made to last. The one that I had on there was a lower end, you know, lower quality.
Yeah.
You know, built inexpensively.
Oslo, while you were mentioning them, they also make really high tech irons. If you let me cut over to
this the Aliso. Oh my god.
Aliso is what I meant. Yeah.
What are they doing there?
The iTouch iron. So, which is brilliant. I love this, the way they're filling this up right now, because, you know, you ever try to fill up an iron from the top, and then
it's horrible.
Fills all over the place, and they've got, you know, a nice little thing if you're trying to get around the pant leg there, and it has its own stand, so when it's done, it pops back up, which is what you want. You know, you don't want to put an iron. See how that's down? Yeah, see how that comes up off the...
So it's got, like, little retractable feet.
Yeah, keeps you, when it's done, it pops up for safety reasons, and, you know, you think about an iron, it's one of the most dangerous pieces of equipment that we use.
I just use hot rocks now, so I got a bunch of flat rocks, and I just get them hot, and then I just put it
in the bathroom and let it steam, and hope that the wrinkles come out from that. That standpoint.
So Recluse was saying in the chat room, just go ahead and season your pan, and that's actually your cast iron pan, and it's an easy process. I don't know. Do you season your pans
all the time?
Yeah, so all the time. I take mine and I just put them on the stovetop, and with a little bit of peanut oil in them, or vegetable oil, whatever one you want to use. But just super, like, I just put it in the beginning, and I actually just heat it up until the oil starts to smoke, and I shut it off. Rub out the extra oil, or rub it around the whole pan with just a nice wad of paper towels, or an old towel that you don't care anything about. And then I fill it with a layer of salt and bring that up to temperature until the salt actually browns, and then shut it off, rub out the salt, and then rub in some fresh oil, and then you're all set. Works like a charm.
Sounds delicious.
Oh, yeah, burnt salt is delicious.
No, but I mean, after cooking in it, you know, doing that and then cooking in it, it's just amazing.
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful. We have these blue steel pans at work, which are, you know, old school French pans, and you treat them exactly the way cast iron is. And if you do that a couple times in a row, it's literally like using a silicone mat and frying an egg on it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just really.
We have a small, and it's my mom's. I think it's my mom's. It could be my mother-in-law's, but we have a small pan that makes omelets that are incredible. It's just the perfect size for an omelet. So 3 eggs, coat the bottom, throw some bacon in, throw a little sausage, flip that thing, toss it one time, turn it off, and I can cook. You know, I can just keep cooking omelets all day in that pan. It's so delicious, and we always prime it with, we get some bacon bits, turn the heat on, throw some bacon bits in and prime it. Oh, right. Man, it's good, brother.
Well, there's just bacon everywhere, which is, you know, obviously, you know, it's one of my favorite things.
Oh, yeah.
I did, you know, I had rendered some, we went to a butchery class a couple weeks ago. I actually, and we brought home, I brought home some back fat from the pig and actually rendered out all the lard from it with just a nice bit of mirepoix in the slow cooker overnight. And so, you know, Recluse is talking about bacon fat. I took my spin air popper the other day, or my spin popcorn popper the other day. You know, the old school ones that have the dome mm-hmm. and the little spindle that goes around. Mm-hmm. Pop some popcorn, and I just tossed some of that rendered lard on there and salt. It was just absolutely perfect.
Unbelievable.
Absolutely unbelievable. Perfect.
Yeah, we keep a little can of bacon grease around just for that.
For your skin.
Yeah, well, sometimes they just rub it on if there's a dry spot.
Yeah. Well, my great-grandmother, my great-grandmother was the one who, you know, was like, oh, we're going to do, you know, we're going to cook our popcorn in bacon fat. And she used to keep ears of corn under her wood stove. You know, the ears of corn were probably, you know, 4 inches long, and they were tiny little ruby kernels. We would sit on the front porch in the evening of her farmhouse, and we'd push the dried kernels off, and then later on she'd pop popcorn for us in the bacon fat. It was absolutely gorgeous. Unimaginably good.
Yeah, super
good. Unimaginably good.
What else do we got, Ryan? What else we think about kitchen gadgets? What else do you want to cover?
Okay, well, we're going to stick with this theme of, you know, perfect temperature control. Mm-hmm. I want to talk to you a little bit about the Cinder electric grill. Okay. It's made with the same kind of technology that goes into your it's at cindercooks.com, C-I-N-D-E-R, cooks.com. It's the same technology that's going into the immersion circulator, but it's basically a George Foreman grill on super steroids, okay? So you can put a steak directly on this or put a piece of fish directly on this and get those grill marks and get the sear without ever it going over temperature. Now, this one goes up to 450 degrees, so you could put a sear on it very quickly and then drop it down to the temperature that you want. But this is something that I literally just saw today for the first time. So I'm looking into it even more. But it was interesting to me to see how this idea of perfect temperature control, and again, using your smartphone or your, you know, your iOS app or iOS device to tell you, you know, when your food's done or how to cook. You know, so this is a very small. It's about a foot wide and a foot deep. It swings up and it goes out of the way. It's enough room for two medium-sized steaks on there. So not a bad little investment. I didn't see what the price on it is. It's $249 for the pre-order and $299 afterwards. This is actually supposed to ship in August of this year. So this isn't out yet. I know that they went through crowdfunding to get this started. I'll be interested to see how this comes out and if it becomes popular over the next year.
It's a beautiful device, Brian.
It's gorgeous. It's
beautiful.
And my real question is are they going to make it, is it going to be smart enough to have interchangeable channels on the inside or chambers on the inside so you could do something like a waffle in it, you know, not just a steak? Could it be a waffle iron as well? Or is it just, you know, two flat pieces of metal or griddle?
Yeah, that would be a perfect design. We're kind of looking at the inside, and they have a picture of the plates there. This might be, by the way, if you're listening to the audio version of this might be a good one to come to the YouTube channel. And
we got quite a bit to see.
We got a lot of pictures to go down here. So sorry to ignore our audio listeners, but this is really one you probably want to come to the video and see. So, but yeah, I can see it has a two plates, and it gives up to a 2-inch clearance.
Yeah.
When those plates come together. I have recently gotten into waffles, and we borrowed a waffle maker from a friend. It was just crap. And I need to get and look for a well-done and then a really good recipe for waffles.
Oh, yeah. Waffle recipe. You know who actually, and I'm not, I'm a fan. I'm not going to say I'm not a fan. I am a fan because we went and saw him at his live show. Alton Brown has a great waffle recipe.
Okay.
It's like a really thick batter that you actually, you know, scoop with a like an ice cream scoop and you place it in. It's very like Belgian style waffle, but light, crispy on the outside, airy on the inside, soft and tender. But yeah, it would be really great if that actually, you know, came with some interchangeable plates. Emily was saying it would be great if you could just remove them for washing, and she's right. I think that would be a great addition to that as well.
Yeah.
But you're right. You need a good waffle iron too, Jim. You need a nice heavy-duty waffle iron. You don't see them very often. You want a waffle iron that actually rotates the top to the bottom so you get a good cook on both sides, and that pressure that pressure, you know, sears on the outside. And it sounds like Mike has a great waffle recipe, according to Brian in the chat room.
Well, yes. It's the waffles at Waffle House are delicious. That's for darn sure. But I can't get Waffle House to bring a store to Omaha. Huh. I mean,
but you might be able to find an old Waffle House iron, like on eBay.
That wouldn't be a bad
idea. I never even thought about that.
Yeah. I wonder if they sell those or if there's a way to... The stores don't close very often, so it might be hard to track one of those down.
Somebody
buy what they buy. Just buy what they buy.
There you go.
You know?
Not bad. So, I've seen a few. Usually it's the whole gambit when you're working in restaurants, especially ones that do, you know, like a higher end that does brunch and has waffles on their brunch menu. It's, you know, oh, we'll give you the waffle iron for free as long as you're buying our... You know, as long as you're buying our waffle mix, you know, it's a $600 waffle iron. Yeah. You know.
Well, and I like the waffle. To be honest with you, this is crazy, but I love the waffles we get at Holiday Inn Express when we go, and they've got those really industrial. They've probably been sprayed a million times. Right. Nothing sticks to it. It makes great waffles. You pour it in a cup, drop it down. I mean, I look forward to staying at Holiday Inn Express because I get awesome cinnamon rolls and incredible waffles. There's about 4,000 calories in between the two of them.
So next time you go there, I've got two pro tips for you when you go to the waffle bar there. Number one, take the cinnamon roll, put it in the waffle iron.
Oh.
Right? Second pro tip,
steal
the waffle iron. You've got a huge suitcase. Just put the waffle iron in the suitcase.
Don't know what happened to the waffle iron. Ryan, in these three examples, all three of them, I think, run by apps, right? Which is
interesting, right?
Which is very interesting.
It's a new thing.
Yeah, as a chef, using your phone to control this stuff, are you getting more comfortable with it, or how
I've never
is that?
Had an issue. I've never really had an issue with it. I think it's interesting because, especially for the home cook, you want to be able to kind of walk away and make sure the kids aren't, you know, falling down the stairs or the dog's not chewing up the couch, or you want to be out back watering the grass real quick while something's working in the kitchen. It makes it more accessible for the home cook. And as a professional chef, I kind of always been into like techie gadgety things. And I'm not, by the way, I don't know how they work. I don't, I don't know what Wi-Fi means. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, I have a very limited knowledge of how things work. I just like to see them work, and I like to play with them, you know. So I've always enjoyed, you know, the new gadget, the stuff. So,
yeah.
What is a Technorati? Am I right in saying that?
I don't know. You got me. I like it. Whatever it is, I love it. I like the fact that you're embracing the technology at the kitchen level. You know, a year ago when we talked to you last, you know, we talked about some interesting gadgets, but this is a step up. I mean...
Yeah, more and more.
Yeah.
More and more apps. Okay, so the granddad... I know I've got two more that actually are run by an app on your phone, but I'm going to give you the big one. Okay?
Okay. I'm going to
give you the big one. It's the Lynx Smart Grill. This is the one that when I saw it, I was like, oh, I got to talk to Jim about this one. Lynx Smart Grill, lynxgrills.com. So this is, by the way, a $7,500 grill, and it is run by your smartphone. And you can it's actually run more than by your smartphone. You can literally talk to this grill and say, Lynx, cook me a steak, and it'll ask you what kind of steak that you are putting on the grill and how thick it is, and it will tell you how long It needs to be on the grill, and when to flip it. It is freaking ridiculous. Don't get me wrong. This is not something that I'm saying everybody should run out and get at all. But I was like, oh, Jim will appreciate a giant grill that...
This one's $8,500.
Oh, we're up to $8,500 too. Yeah, this one. The 36-inch grill was $75, I think.
This one. Let's go back as we look at the... So if you go to lynxgrills.com, and ooh, they got pizza ovens too, but let's go over to the
smart grills. Oh, I bet you that's not cheap.
No, and that those pizza ovens have become really, really popular.
Well, you know, we were talking... Well, I'll... Remind me to tell you about the, we'll go back to the Cowboy Grill after this, because something I want to try with that and a pizza oven. But yeah, so we got a smart app that goes along with it, grilling mode. It comes in, what, 24, 36, and 48-inch, 24, 36, and 48-inch, you know, cooking zones. Several different burner options throughout. And the opportunity to speak to your grill and tell it to cook you a steak.
Built-in safety measures.
Yeah.
A Trident Pro Sear 2 platform. Look at that thing.
Now this is
up to the temperature of the sun.
You know, this is just an infrared cooking, you know, structure where it heats up the stones in it. I mean, it's just a very modern version of what, you know, you have. When it comes to, you know, you were talking last time about your rocks that you put in there, mm-hmm. A very efficient version of that.
Mm-hmm. I actually threw some of my rocks out this time. I was telling you in the pre-show, I finally had a cast iron burner that I felt like I'd had forever, and I went back and checked the data when I bought it 8 years ago. That burner lasted me. You know, if you do
did you write on a burner? Did you write on it?
No, I had the receipt still in my email. That was I went out and looked and I could find the receipt still in my email. So I got 8 years out of that burner, which is pretty good.
That is really good, yeah. Especially because you use it quite a bit.
I do. I use it all the time, but I felt like I had too many rocks in there, and once it got heated up, it was fantastic to cook on because those rocks brought a real even real even cooking surface for me.
Yeah.
It was taking too long, and so I decreased, threw some out, and it got down basically to a single layer. But I'm still using the iDevice iGrill. We talked about
that
shows back. Oh, love it for cooking turkeys. Hey, speaking of that, could I immerse a turkey if I had a big enough? Can I do that?
Yes, you can. And that is one of the reasons why I'm looking at the newer versions of the non-professional newer versions of the immersion circulator. The Joule, which is half the size of the one that I have, the Sans Air, heats twice as much liquid to the same accuracy, or better accuracy than the Sans Air does. So that is one of the reasons why I'm looking at it. So in your case, you want to do the turkey. Well, remember last time we talked about smoking the turkey, and we said, well, you know, I wanted you to brine it, you know, first, you know. Brine everything, guys, by the way. Just brine it all. Brine the world. It makes for better food, I'm telling you. The salt gets pulled in, you know, into the meat that you're cooking, and it just leaves it juicier and flavored better no matter what. So don't be afraid to brine something. But anyway, we talked about when you wanted to brine a turkey for the holidays last time, to use one of the, you know, the big coolers. And then set it outside because it's winter, and it'll brine just fine. It'll stay cool enough, so you don't have to worry about it. So use that very same cooler. Take the brine out of it. Put in fresh water. Put your turkey into a bag, and even a trash bag, and literally circulate
set it and forget it.
Immerse it and circulate it. You know,
yeah. So that would work.
Totally work.
And yep. Bring it up to the 100 and what's poultry? 170.
165 for poultry. If you're weak.
Okay. What if you're strong?
If you're strong, kick it around 150, 155.
Okay. All
right. Right. But you're gonna finish that in the oven anyway.
Yeah. Right.
And you know, because you want to get that, you want that nice golden skin on the outside.
Or I could throw it on the grill at that point, right?
You could throw it on the grill.
superheat the grill, throw that thing right on the grill, brown it on the outside, right, and call it good.
Yeah, and the advantage to doing it in the immersion circulator in sous vide is you want that long cooking time for the legs and thighs. And normally what I would suggest to you, my first thing is break down, you know, butcher your chicken. Don't cook the legs and thighs with your breasts. Always cook them separately because the legs and thighs need a longer time. You actually need that time to break the collagen down in the legs and thighs. It's just like a tough piece of beef.
Right.
You know, you need that time. And normally if they're connected to the bird or the rest of the breast, the turkey breast is overcooked already.
Yeah. Well, that's why I coat it with bacon.
And I know.
It's delightful. Hey, Emily put a really cool, have you seen these? We'll throw those for to look at. But this is the meter.
That is interesting.
The first truly wireless smart meat thermometer. Have you seen these?
I have not seen those yet. I actually went through Kickstarter tonight to see if there was anything on there, and I just didn't come across any. Those are nice looking. I don't need a thermometer. I guess I don't know.
No, because if you're cooking, if you're doing immersion cooking, the immersion is controlling the temperature of the meat, right? And so,
yeah. But even in the sense that, you know, even if I were grilling or sautéing or searing the meat, you know, on the stovetop. By the way, Emily, those are gorgeous, and you know, they might end up in my kitchen at some point in time. I'm not saying I'm not going to get one, but the simple truth of the matter is I can do it by touch, you know, but that's because of years of practice.
Yeah.
Do you want to see the trick?
Go ahead and show that. This is, you really want to see the video for this, but do that.
The video for, Oh,
of you doing this. Yeah.
Have I talked to you about this before?
You have, but I don't know if we've done it on the show.
All right. So if you want to figure out if your food, your steak or your chop is rare, mid-rare, medium or mid-well, well done. It's very simple. Take the palm of your hand and put your thumb next to your forefinger and you touch the fat, the thick part of your palm there underneath your thumb. When you do that, that is rare. And then what I want you to do is take your thumb and forefinger and make the okay sign and touch. That is medium rare. And then when you do the middle finger, that is medium, and you're still touching the fat pad or the fatty pad of your, I guess it's not fat, the thick part of your thumb. And then when you do your ring finger, that is mid well. And then when you touch, when you make the okay symbol with your pinky and your thumb, that is well done. So you start to feel that in your meat and you're like, okay, it's well done, or that's rare. By the way, if you ever get to well done, you should just throw the steak in the garbage anyway or give it to the dog.
There's no good use for well done.
There is no good use for well done. There's no good use for well done, and nothing good comes from soggy, greasy mushrooms. That's right. That's my big thing.
Do not overcook. That meter, which is a great name, by the way, M-E-A-T-E-R. Yeah, meter. That's awesome.
I'm very jealous.
I know. It works both ways. 59 gets you a single thermometer. By the way, they work.
Holy crap.
Another app. That's not too far off. That iDevices one that I bought was 30, 35, yeah. Right? So, and it's got a wire. This is wireless.
Yeah.
The whole set that we showed, 169, that'll get you four plus kind of a tracking device inside.
And a cool display, right?
Yeah, very cool display.
Very nice display.
And then both together is $218. That's right now on Indiegogo. So if you want to go over there and search for meter, M-E-A-T-E-R.
Are they on Indiegogo and Kickstarter?
The link that Emily gave me is was a Kickstarter link, but it took me to Indiegogo.
Interesting.
Yeah. Interesting indeed.
Are they breaking the terms of service?
I don't know, but I don't care. That's a super sexy looking.
No, and they're very sharp looking. I actually will look into those. So yeah, that was like the big reveal was the Lynx Smart Grill.
Bom, bom.
You know, I was like, oh, Jim's got to see this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you just bought a new car.
I did buy a $30,000 grill car.
Is almost a third of your car.
Yeah, you're right. It's a quarter, a good quarter of it.
Think
pretty
about
close.
It. Yeah.
Pretty close. You know what'd be cool though is if they had a portable version of that you could put in the back of the car, and then when you're tailgating, you would
there
just
you, go.
You know, you would
all right, well think
slide
about okay.
Out.
That's a really good point. All the equipment that we talked about so far, all the gadgets that we talked about so far, would actually be really good for tailgating.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it.
True. No flame.
Yeah. No flame, precise temperature control. So think about for any either one of the immersion circulators, probably not so much the Aliso versus like the Joule or the Sansair that I have currently, but okay, I've got a pot of chili that I want to take to the tailgate. I've got hot dogs that I want to cook. By the way, cooking hamburgers in an immersion circulator and then searing them off is absolutely gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. So, but you go there, well, instead of taking a whole pot of chili, why not take, you know, a Ziploc bags that have 2 cups of chili in them, and you pop them in the immersion circulator that's, you know, hooked up to your adapter in the car.
Yeah, because they don't draw a ton of power, do they?
No.
Yeah.
No, 120 volt, but you just get a power adapter, you know, you get a
right. Inverter.
Ever-ready inverter, right. And you plug it in. And then you can take 10 packs of chili with you, and then you just set them in there. And when anybody wants some chili, you pull out a little bag and you pour the 2 cups into a bowl, and you call it good.
Yeah.
Right. Or nacho cheese. Come on. That's the real deal right there. Perfect.
Put that in Tupperware or put the lid on it. Just drop that thing in the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Pull that out.
You could make creme brulee. You could make creme brulee at your tailgate. You put the custard inside a small ball jar, and you put the lid on it. You lay it down in your immersion circulator, and then by halftime, you've got creme brulee. You're the fanciest tailgaters ever. That's all there is to it.
Rennie, who is in Brisbane, Australia, says, here tailgating means following the car in front of you too close. It means that here, too. But
yeah, we have a couple of versions of tailgating. But you still could make the creme brulee while you're following another car too close, just so you know.
You could. It could. You could get it done. No, it's a great idea. Keeping flames away from the tailgate. It travels easy.
Your car full of gas.
Clean up is super easy from that point. So a great idea when outside, if you want to keep the flames down. Cool.
Well, yeah, exactly. So those are kind of more, you know, the high-end stuff. And when I think of kitchen gadgets, there's kind of like the dreamy stuff, like the Lynx grill. But honestly, there's certain things that you just kind of need to have. And these are not tech, but they're still gadgets. And so I wanted to come back a little bit. I think everybody should have a pasta maker, pasta machine, whether it's a hand-cranked one, which is... runs right around $57 if you get the Atlas Made in Italy pasta machine. Those are really nice. I've had one of those for years. But if you already have, that's the Roma, yep. The Atlas is
$32 at Target, right? Very low end.
Is that Target?
Yeah.
That one's not too expensive. The Atlas is a little heavier duty when it comes to the build quality. You can actually get it on Amazon for $57. And it comes with, there you go, perfect. It's $79. Where are you getting that from?
Sur La Table.
Sur La Table. They're very expensive there.
Yeah.
You can, if you're looking at the same machine, you can get the same machine on Amazon for $22 less.
Okay.
But... And that's if you don't have a KitchenAid already. Okay? If you have a KitchenAid already, what I would look at is getting the pasta machine attachments to it. And on Amazon, you can get the 3-piece pasta roller set. So you'll get a roller and two cutters. And this makes your making fresh pasta super quick and super easy. You only need one person to do it, you know. The other one you'll have to clamp to your countertop or your table, and then crank it by hand and pull it through. So the one I'm looking at, $139. You've already spent $400 to $600 on your KitchenAid, so why not spend another $139 on the KitchenAid roller set? Making fresh pasta is an art form, but it's completely satisfying when you start to really get it. You know, it takes a little time, it takes a lot of patience, it takes a little concentration. It's one of those Zen cooking skills that you learn that really is fulfilling.
That sounds good, and we do. The Collison house does have a KitchenAid attached to it, although I never would have thought of making pasta off the KitchenAid. So,
well, over the last 15, 20 years, KitchenAid has really come up with a lot of great attachments for that front gear, basically, that comes out of the front of the machine. And the pasta roller is one of probably the best investments that you can do. You can run, you know, bread dough through it, so you can make some flatbreads even. The biggest thing when it comes to these machines, even the hand-cranked ones, you never want to get them wet. You never want to wash them. You want to brush them with a dry brush and, you know, go from there, because they'll just start to squeak and rust, and it's just it's horrible when those things happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been using it for years, and I just love the idea that I can put a, you know, I can hold the dough right over the machine, put the machine on high if I need to, if I'm trying to work really fast, and it just spits the dough out super quick. The cutters and the rollers on those are really, really nice. Sometimes if you get one of the lower-end hand crank ones, like the first one that you had shown, the cutters don't actually mesh well together, and so your dough doesn't cut evenly or all the way through. So you got to be careful with that. This is one of those gadgets that you want to spend a little bit of money on, but it's not like you have... It's not like when you're podcasting and somebody tells you to get the PR, you know, PR40.
Yeah.
You don't need it.
Yeah.
You don't need it. You don't need to spend $1,000 on a pasta machine. Somewhere between $60 and $150 will get you exactly what you need. And if you've already got the KitchenAid, just roll into that and get it. It's a perfect match for what you're doing for the rest of the year.
Very cool. Yeah. Something worth trying. For sure, Recluse says he's yet to play with pasta. So thanks for reminding him. That's a good... It's a good reminder. Walk me through it real quick, because I've never made and cooked fresh pasta. So okay. I put the materials together, create the dough, flatten the dough out, run it through the cutter. It cuts it into the pasta size for me. Does that go right in? Does that go right into water?
All pasta is, in its basic form, is flour and water and salt. Bread is flour, water, salt, and yeast.
Yeast, right.
So it's not much different. I like to do a very, very rich pasta dough, so I'm using a lot of egg yolk in mine instead of water. So it's a brighter yellow pasta. It's got a richer mouthfeel to it. But all you need to do, you can use the KitchenAid, you can do it by hand, is when you mix that together, you're going to mix it until it looks homogeneous and smooth. You're going to want to let that rest for about 20 minutes before you try and roll it flat. And then you're going to want to let it dry a little bit for another probably 20 to 30 minutes. When the sheets are flat. So you're going to let that dry, so when you cut it, it doesn't cling together. It really allows the pasta itself to be loose. So, and then you have salted boiling water, and what should the water taste like? It should taste like the ocean. Okay? Excuse me. When your water tastes like the ocean and it's boiling, you drop your fresh pasta in. It takes somewhere between, I said mouthfeel, I did. It should taste like the ocean, and when it's boiling, you drop your pasta in, and it should take somewhere between 30 seconds and a minute and a half. You'll have this beautiful al dente pasta that will just barely give you resistance when you chew through it. I'm a big fan of like the old German style pastas, because that's what my grandmother made. She made beef and noodles, so she wouldn't cook the noodles in water. She would have these like stewed beef going, you know, like a shredded beef and like a large pot of liquid, and she would throw these heavy noodles into it, raw noodles, and let them cook. And they were like the thickness of a pencil by the time they were done. Like, that's how thick they were. But absolutely gorgeous.
And delightful. Just delightful to have. Well, Ryan, anything when we think of, that's a great tip. Any other gadgets before I do an unboxing?
Just one more, and this is something that I really think everyone should have. It's a Ben Reiner Japanese mandolin. You can get them between $25 and $57. This makes like kind of the even cuts that are kind of a labor to do, even just for salads. Literally, you shave your vegetables up in a second. You can find that somewhere between $57 and $63, depending on where you're at. But take a look at that. It's a plastic mandolin. It's not the old-style French. It doesn't have a stand. You literally hold it in your hand, but the blades are razor sharp, and get the extra wide one so you can do whole onions on it or whole cabbage or half a cabbage head on it at a time. That's really what that's about the last one that I want to tell you guys about today. It's actually a very simple there you go. This is the older version of the green mandolin.
Okay.
There's a jumbo version, or like I think here it says there's a wide version. But you want to get one of those. And it's great for anything that you need to slice thin. You just want to make sure it's not your finger that you're slicing thin.
Very, very sharp.
Very, very sharp.
This one with a tray.
Yeah, you can get the, I don't think you need the tray, but...
Need the gloves?
No, you don't need the gloves. You just need to watch your fingers. That's just all.
Don't blow your fingers off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember when I was 15, I worked at Taco Bell. And in those days, you would still prep a lot of the food that you would prep it. Like, they don't do that anymore. It all comes pretty much ready to go. We cook the meat on site and stuff like that, but we'd actually cut the tomatoes and lettuce on site, and they'd make us wear these gloves that were like chainmail.
Oh, yeah. And, oh, yeah. They're no longer metal. They actually have, like, a fabric that is cut resistant, which is interesting. And, you know, the grocery chain I used to work for, they wanted me to wear cut gloves while I was doing cooking demos. And I'm like, nobody wants to sit here and watch me cut stuff with a cut glove on. That's just ridiculous. So it was actually nice. They let me get away with not wearing one.
Well, good. Well, some awesome kitchen gadgets. And I think if I took a pulse on how good they were based on the chat room, I think we got some real winners here tonight. I'm going to take out a large loan for the grill.
That one you might have to pawn a kid for.
That's not going to happen, but I'd love. Although, Ryan, you know, we've talked about this before. I have an old school grill. I bought it in 96. It's a Sunbeam. It's really, I've gutted the whole thing, and it's got all new custom parts on the inside.
Right.
It's cooked in. It's loved. It's awesome.
What I can't believe is that the outside of it hasn't rusted through.
It's close. So when I was replacing the grill, it's seasoned so well. There's no rust that could ever start. Any surface is covered in grease. So
perfect.
It stays perfectly. But whenever a burner starts to go, it always goes on the bottom, right? And so then it shoots flames out underneath, and it has weakened that metal on the bottom. So I'm going to run out. Eventually, I'm going to run out. I did replace the stainless steel or the cast iron with a stainless steel 3-year. It's going to go. It gives me maybe a year and a half, 2 years on the stainless steel as much as we cook. But I think this is the last go-around for that grill. I think I told Sarah, I think this is it. I think we're going to have to go with a new grill.
This is the last summer for the grill.
So I know which grill I'm going with, though.
You better start saving your pennies. Better hope your affiliate sales start picking up.
Come on, people, buy at Amazon.
Buy a grill. Well, there was one other thing that I'm not going to get into it, but there is actually a robot grill cleaner that I saw today, and I thought you'd like that. It's called Robot Grill or Grillbot. You can look at it later.
Hold on. Yeah. No, we're going to look at it right now. Hold on.
Grillbot.
Grillbot. Yeah. Let's see if we can. Oh, yeah, Grillbot automatic cleaner. Let's pop
it. It did not look like it actually cleaned things all that well. I was watching the video on it, and it literally is, like, bouncing up and down across your grill.
Yeah.
It does not look like it actually would
clean. I can't imagine that would be that'd be any good.
Yeah, I don't know if you can see the video. You watch the video later. It is like a Roomba for the grill.
They're all moving that way.
Jason Bryant said it's a Roomba for the grill.
We talked about a robot lawnmower a couple weeks back, and I'd love to have one of those, but those are pricey, $2,000 or $3,000.
How do they work?
They cut out the smaller blades. They cut every day, so they're only cutting a little bit of your grass at a time. Uh-huh. They'll work in rain because they don't jam up because they're not cutting that much grass. They do random patterns until they learn your yard, and then they get some, depending on the brand. Some of them start putting together an efficient plan for themselves based on where the trees are. Because every time they bump into something, they mark it, and then they get an internal map built
Interesting.
And then they come out, so they have a stand that they go into. You put a little wire down on the ground. Yeah. It tells it where the stand is. They put themselves away when they need to be charged. They charge up till they're done, and then with an app, you can schedule, hey, I want to mow between 1 and 6 every day. And when at 1 o'clock the thing pops out, it'll mow till it's out of battery. It'll go back in till it recharges.
Will it run over your pets?
It could. It could. But anytime there's a movement, the ones I was looking at, anytime there's a sharp movement up or down, they automatically shut off. So
interesting.
If it was going to run over something, as soon as it popped up, the blades would shut off.
Wow.
Type deal.
Well, so. I just want to remind you guys that if you guys are interested in anything that we talked about, I am putting together a guide. Just go to foodcraftsman.com/HGG. That's specifically for you guys.
Awesome.
And I'll email it to you as soon as I put it all together.
And I'll put a link to that in the show notes so folks can. So, Ryan, thanks for doing that. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem.
You had asked me a little bit. This came in. We've been talking about this for a while now, this VideoMic Me.
Yeah.
This was a recommendation, I think, from Michael Murphy over at his Monday Ask Me Anything, Ask a Podcast or Anything. We hang out together. I think that's where this came from. So hopefully this just came in. What's crazy, so about $65.
Yeah.
For this thing, and you're seeing, we're doing a live unboxing, so there's the plastic. And it comes with an instruction manual. You know how those unboxings are. This is the creepy part of it. Look at that. That's kind of
the dead cat.
The dead. Yeah. Oh. Wait a minute. There's some whatever this stuff is, so it doesn't. So it
silicone
doesn't
get pack.
Silicone, whatever. And then the adapter. Here's the iPhone adapter part. So what you do then with this, and we'll pull the for the sake of for demonstration, we will separate the fuzz from the mic. But here is your mic right there.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to plug into, and this is going to plug into the on the iPhone, and this is iPhone only.
Is
it's going to yeah, it is. It's going to plug into that port there. It's got the TSS, I think, or TTS. I forget. Hold on, I gotta throw that
TSS,
on.
TSS, yeah.
TSS, yeah. It's got that on the. You can see on the port going in. Yeah. Of course, it's designed to go in here. The idea, of course, is that this is going to amplify your. And it's going to directionalize your audio. So this mic will, and it's also got headphone out on the back, so you can plug those in and
you can monitor what you're recording.
Exactly. If somebody asked me, will this fit on with a case? Well, in this case, it is yes, because this case has a little cutout for the jack, and it would work. Now, the real question is, will it work? This is what stabilizes it, right? This is the up there. This is the piece that stabilizes it. So if I put that in there, because I think you're supposed to...
You kind of squeeze it and
Yeah, it goes on there, and then this piece, so it's plugged in, then that piece snaps down until it gets tight, and now it stays. So what I don't like about it is it's bending it a little bit. You see how it's... It may be hard on the camera to see there, but it's not, because it's on a case, it's not flat. So it is off center a little bit. I don't think it's bad off center, but let me pull this.
Do you think it's bending the
Yeah, input? It's bending this thing is bending. It's putting a lot of pressure because I got the case on it. So let's just take the case off for a second. I got on there. Now, I would, in my case, I wouldn't mind when I record these, I'm probably going to have the case off anyways. Because, that's nice and straight.
Yeah, there you go.
Then at that point. So when I record these, let's see if I brought this down last night. I actually bought a, what did I do with it? I must have left it upstairs. That's a bummer. I brought a mount that will hold it here, and then it comes down nice metal. Shoot, that's a total fail. I could have shown that plugged in here. Anyways. Grips the phone like this, and then it's got a metal back with just one adjustment. And then it's got four screw holes on the bottom to mount it to a tripod or whatever kind of device that you want to.
I would have loved to have seen that.
Well, let's see if we can get this thing down here.
That would have been gorgeous to see.
That's a huge fail. I thought I brought it down.
Well, do you know where it is? Go get it.
Yeah. Why don't you...
Go get it. And while you're doing that, If you guys have any cooking questions in the chat room, go ahead and fire them away. We'll, you know, we'll see what we can answer. I know Jim is a sprinter. He's the world's fastest gadget geek. So make sure, I don't know, he's probably already is way back. But if you guys have any questions, either Jason or Emily or Recluse in there, go ahead and shoot them in there, and I will definitely try and answer them. What are you guys getting on Facebook? That's what I want to know. All right, Jim's coming back. Oh, yeah, you made it back. You
know, I've never left my show in 5 years.
Well, now you have. It's a first. So Recluse, ceramic knives, they're absolutely gorgeous. They are sharp, and they stay sharp for a long time unless you bump them on, unless you bump them on something or drop them. So I don't know anything about Pampered Chef, to be honest with you, Emily. I've never used them.
They get some cool gadgets.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a subscription style thing or not.
They do parties.
Oh, okay.
It's party style stuff. They've got some. They have some cool gadgets.
You like go and you like
yeah,
show.
Yeah, they have representatives.
Companies like that.
Okay. Catalogs and stuff. They got some really cool products. They, I think, I don't know if this is a Pampered Chef one, but Sarah bought a pineapple core.
Mm-hmm.
Core, you know, and so it's got a.
You
cylinder.
Like twist it.
Yeah, cylinder on the top, and it's got its blade, and it's just a plastic blade. It's not even very sharp, but it's sharp enough to cut. You don't need much sharpness to cut through the pineapple. And as you spin it, it just works its way down the pineapple till you get to the bottom, right?
Okay.
Then lift that off, and then just pull the core out, pop the core in the trash, and you have a perfect cylinder of pineapple that you'd take a knife.
Spiraled.
Yeah, just take a knife, and then you've got perfect. You have just perfect. Pineapple circles, which, by the way, I have been barbecuing pineapple, grilling pineapple. Oh, my God, Ryan. It is so – it's good with everything.
I'm pineapple, sure it is.
We did kebabs.
Because there's a lot of sugar in it.
Oh, my God. It's
lots of sugar in pineapple.
We did kebabs, bell peppers, and pineapple, and just those three together. And we grilled the bell pepper as well. So we got that nice and soft and –
Well, you know, we were talking about the immersion circulators. Usually the gadget that goes along with that is a very high-powered vacuum sealer. And so what you would do is you would take a slice of that pineapple and you'd put it in the vacuum sealer under very, very high pressure, and you compress the cells inside the pineapple. And so it makes it very, very firm and almost leathery, and then you could grill that, and that would be fantastic too.
Yeah,
but those are another $600. So
we've already spent a lot tonight.
Yeah, we've broken the bank tonight.
Let me. You won't spend much on this. So this is the MeFoto, MeFoto. It's very simple design, right? Just a little bracket. I mentioned it's got four holes on the bottom. If you want to mount that to any style tripod, both the larger and the smaller. Kinds that are available. On the back side, an unscrew swivel so that this goes just about any direction, but it's one screw, which is what I really like. And it feels very solid. This isn't those plastic ones that you buy. We had, SP. Oh, I'm supposed to play that message tonight. I may not have time. But SP sent me a video of that. He has a mount that mounts to his rearview mirror in his car, and he sent me a video. I'll show it maybe next show. I showed it, or he showed himself recording himself off the mirror, and you'd think that thing would be shaking around a lot, and it wasn't. So we'll show that video next time.
Yeah, that's the MeFoto Sidekick 360.
That's exactly what it is. And so
it comes in orange, by the way.
A lot of gray colors. I got orange. Red?
See, yeah, orange is my favorite color. I'm going to have to order orange.
Yeah. The two adjustments on the side, you unscrew that, and you can see that getting larger on that if you want to do that. And then you can unscrew this one, and one of these pops out. Oh, this one's actually flexible.
Okay.
So this one stays the same. This one's flexible. So you can throw, let me get this spaced out properly. So we are going to throw this inside. I still need to go a little bit wider. So we'll blow these out. But this is, you can see, it would take the smaller phones as well as some of the larger ones. Then we'll tighten this up. On the inside, you can just see me tightening that up and that. All right, and that is nice and super secure on the inside there. And then I can use this adjustment to set it any way that I want. And so now I have it upside down. This is probably not the most ideal camera setup. But if I wanted to, I could go this way with it.
You could do a landscape mode. Yeah.
Yes, go landscape. And you see how easy that is to adjust that. By the way, Mike Murphy, again, recommended this. Nice. We're going to put this on a... I'm going to use a handheld, the Gorilla. You know, this is one of those Gorilla tripods.
Yeah. So I love those, by the way. Those are fantastic.
Yeah, you can see how quick this goes on. So we're gonna snap that on like that, get it there, and then I'm gonna handhold it.
Right.
So when we're doing stuff, right, I can use this to, and if I need to stop and do a quick tripod setup, we can set the tripod out like that, and boom, it's out and ready to go. So I need to test the mic yet. I'll get some tests done where we do it with and without the microphone. Mm-hmm. Set up, yeah.
I have the bigger brother to that you can put it in a DSLR and or the GoPro, and I love the microphone. It's absolutely amazing. So I hope that has the same quality as its bigger brother. I forget what it's called, the Mic Pro Go or something like that.
Something along those lines. Now, how crazy does this look?
Okay, can you see that on camera when you've got your camera going? That's the real question.
You can. Well, I would imagine if you're going to use your camera as a monitor at that point, it's going to cover a little bit. Oh, I see what you're saying. I don't know. I'll have to test it out.
Like, will it show up in the
video? I know. Because you would see it.
Okay, so what do you think this setup is ideal for?
Yeah,
it would be ideal for?
Well, what I bought it for is we need to interview some of our interns in action during the summer doing some things. And so I want to come up and sit down as they're working and turn this thing on and say, all right, you know, I'm gonna stand over it and, you know, talk to me. And we're going to record them in some very candid conversations. And I don't want to throw lights in. I don't want to throw I just want it to be spur of the moment kind of stuff. And so this is what... You know, and when I'm doing conference stuff and I'm trying to interview people.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
Again, bring this around directionally, this is supposed to be really good to get the, like if I was you're right in front of me, this is where I'd want to place it and point it right at you.
Yeah, I think that would be great. I like I said, I love the other, I love the big brother. I actually always love the idea of just filming with my iPhone. But I like the quality that I can get out of some of the other things that I film with for my videos. But you know, I love the convenience of it because I can actually, you know, I can edit a video on my iPhone and I can actually upload it to a service like YouTube or Vimeo, and it's just there, you know, it's ready to go.
Right.
So
yeah,
I've had an iPhone for what, 5 or 6 years now. You know, different versions of it. This week, first time I actually cracked the screen.
Oh, man. Do you have a cover on it? Screen cover?
Oh, I don't have a screen cover on it. My mother has a freaking Gorilla Glass screen cover on it from, you know, and I don't.
Yeah.
But I've never had an issue with it until, you know, today. In the pocket with keys. That's what happened. I sat down.
You torqued it just the right way and snapped it. Exactly. I just replaced, you know, we reviewed here Tech Armor gear for that reason. And so I was biking with my iPhone, and I usually carry a cover. You see the cover. It's one of these Tech 21s. Pretty good, inexpensive, really basic. Like, you can buy them at Best Buy or any of those. So case like this, and I was in a bike with in a B-cycle bike, and it was bouncing around inside the basket up front, metal basket, and I usually wrap it in a towel so it doesn't do that. I should have it in my pocket, but it hit the corner just right, and it broke the protective glass. The Tech Armor protective glass, but that's all it broke. And it so then I sat on it and it went across. The other night, $10, bought the ballistic, you know, 0.2 millimeter or whatever it is for $10 on Amazon. It comes in. Remember how you used to have to do the liquid, you know, you have to put and get it wet. Nope, not anymore. Not on this one. Was it
easy to install? Because that was
super easy, Ryan. It's literally,
and it's called ballistic.
Yeah, it's Tech Armor ballistic glass.
Jeez, Jim. Now I gotta buy it.
$1,065 is what I paid for it.
I guess I should probably wait until I get a new phone before I put that on there.
Go to theaverageguy.tv/Amazon to order it. And of course, we always appreciate it when folks use that link. to get those. If you're going to buy that grill, definitely buy it from Amazon. I would be really disappointed if you didn't. Well, here's what's funny, Ryan. So here I get this, I've got a few podcasters out in the audience tonight. Here I get this really cool sound gadget, and I'm talking about it. The whole time I'm talking about it, they're talking about Pampered Chef in the chat room.
Perfect. Yeah.
So
anyways. There's a lot of great services out there. I had a few friends who were asking me the other night about things like Blue Plate and stuff like that, mm-hmm. you know, where you could, or Blue Apron, excuse me, or Plated, where you can, get food sent to you. And I've never used any of them. So I said to the one gentleman, what did you think? The food's great. The lemons and limes are always seem old. And if you don't eat the food piles up because they keep sending you things. I was like, oh, well, there you go. Get the choppa. Yeah, you're supposed to eat it. That's
you're supposed to eat it. Well, hey, Ryan, great having you. It's always great to have you on.
Jim, thanks so much.
No, I appreciate what you bring. We'll remind everyone, if you'd like to get in contact with us, again, Ryan had said, Ryan, what's that address again if they want to get the show notes based on
this? If you guys want the guide, I'm going to put one together for you. It's foodcraftsman.com/HGG for home gadget geeks, the only place where I talk about really geeky kitchen gadgets.
No, it's good. You're so good at this. I always look forward to this, once a year or whatever when we get to talk.
Oh, we'll do it more than once a year. I was just in a downward spiral. That's okay. And
all right, even if it's once a year, it's awesome. Oh,
no, so I like doing it too. I like doing it too. I think I'd just rather be a guest on other people's podcasts now.
No, there you go. Maybe you can become a professional guest on podcasts. It's always nice because the chat room always lights up when we talk food. You know, you'd think, well, food, technology, man, it's a sweet spot for a lot of our audience. I know they appreciate
good.
It.
Good. Next time, if you guys think about it and you guys have any questions about cooking, or if you have any cooking questions anyway, and you don't think Jim can answer those cooking questions, head over to Food Craftsman. My whole thing is I want to make sure that you create like a chef and master the kitchen, and I want you to do that in a way that does not have to do anything specific with recipes and teach you how to cook using technique. I love to answer your questions. I'll put a video together and put it on YouTube. I might even put a podcast out again. You never know. So just come over there, ask a question. My email address is ryan@foodcraftsman.com if you want to ask me directly.
All right. Awesome. Well, Ryan, hang around for a little bit of post-show.
Certainly will.
Brian, it said flip that mic around so you can see the shot and better in the camera and use the better camera that's on the phone. Yeah, that's the whole idea. I put it that way as an example. We'll definitely get both sides going. Remind everyone that both about the AverageGuy.tv's platform, both web and media hosting, of course, powered by Maple Grove Partners, get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from people that you know and trust. For more information, visit MapleGrovePartners.com. Remember, this is Christian's web hosting. Very secure, very WordPress-friendly, and very podcast-friendly, and plans start at $10. So, Ryan, if you're thinking about it's the best way to go with the podcast. I'm not going to lie. Christian does a great job with Maple Grove Partners. If you're thinking about getting back into it, or you feel like you're spending too much on your host and your media hosting, $10 a month, Maple Grove Partners. You have to give it a...
Check it out. I'll talk to you more about it.
Yeah, MapleGrovePartners.com. I want to thank Roger out at WLMN Radio, Grafton, West Virginia, for broadcasting us live on terrestrial. You're being broadcasted, right now.
Live. I didn't know that. You didn't tell me that. I didn't. Grafton. There's no permission given for terrestrial radio. No, I love it. Thank you so much. Was it WLMN? Is that what you said?
WLMN Radio out of Grafton, West Virginia, 9 a.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. Home Gadget Geeks get played out there, so we appreciate it. Yeah. Pretty cool, huh?
What is it, a private radio station?
It is. It totally is.
Yeah. That is amazing. That's pretty awesome.
It is pretty cool. Hey, so.
Well, thank you, WLMN, for playing us. That's really, really cool.
Yeah.
Weger, know if I can do anything for you.
Mike Weger, the other co-host, Roger's his buddy. So that came with having Weger on. Also, a reminder to take advantage of getting listening to our podcast here live on HomeGadgetGeeks.com. So if you haven't put that app yet on your iPhone or Android device, head out to HomeGadgetGeeks.com. Big buttons. Just push those and download the app. Best way to listen when you're on the road, and we stream it out there, and an easy way to get the live show if you want to do it on your phone. We already mentioned the Amazon affiliate link, so if you head out to theaverageguy.tv/Amazon when you're purchasing it, of course, we always appreciate that. Turn that into, and we use that. I use that to pick up this video mic, me. and we'll test it and do posts around it. I need it, and so why not try it out and let you guys know how it goes? So we'll be doing that. If you are interested in buying something, having me buy something for you, and I'll review it, let me know, and we will do it as well. Recluse says, great Anana Box and Dark Web podcast on Cyber Frontiers. Don't forget, we have kicked up Cyber Frontiers again for the summer. So if you let that podcast go, you know, we didn't do much in the spring, but if you let that go, we've been talking, Ryan, a lot about, being anonymous on the web, the dark web, the deep web, right. Some of those really nerdy things about that. And we reviewed these Anana Box things.
What is that?
It creates a basically a portable VPN for you. So if you need secure,
freaking sweet,
untraceable internet access, this is what. It's also a great travel router. So say you were in a hotel room,
uh-huh,
you would attach this to the Wi-Fi and then attach all your devices to it,
oh,
and they would go through one place to get it, and you don't have to.
I have one question for you, real quick, because we were talking about anonymous on the web.
Yeah,
I own the website awesomestrangers.com. And I've actually been thinking about doing a podcast where people literally call in and anonymously tell stories about how other people have helped them somehow.
That's a great idea.
I've been toying around with that idea, and I'm interested. Maybe some of your listeners might want to chime in and see. Let me know if they think that's a good idea. Awesomestrangers.com. I don't have anything there. It literally goes to like GoDaddy right now or whatever. But
that's a great idea.
I didn't know what to do with the name, and then the other day I was like, well, you know what would be neat is just to hear stories about how somebody has helped somebody else.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That they didn't know.
We should create a whole network around the power of positive actions, right? When people do random acts of kindness or those kinds of things, that should be rewarded. And we should just have, yeah. The world needs more of that. Maybe we're onto something here, Ryan. Maybe.
You never know. Sometimes I got good ideas.
Every once in a while, right? We come up with a good one. Just a reminder, we're out here every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out at theaverageguy.tv live. We got a bunch of really cool shows coming up for you, including I've been talking about this for a while, but we had Dwayne Robinson on from Microsoft, and he was a little hard on the Chromebooks. So I've got two Chromebook fans coming back in, both Nathan, and then a new guest Chip from Making Dad show is coming on. So those coming up here in a couple weeks, we'll have Nathaniel back in for that. Looking at getting Edward Weininger back in to talk about Bitcoin and so what's going on in the world of Bitcoin, which will be fun to catch up with him. Schoonover will be back on next week, and so he'll be here. Hopefully Mike Weaker will be back. I didn't mention Mike earlier, but Mike's out. He's trying to buy a house tonight. So, Mike, we wish you the best of luck on hopefully your offer gets accepted. The market's super hot in Omaha, so it's one of those kinds of things where right now this idea of the highest bidder is kicking in here in Omaha. So, yeah, it's super hot. But anyways, we're out here Thursday nights. Hold on. 8 Central, 9 Eastern, out at theaverageguy.tv/live. And with that, we'll say goodnight, everybody.